the sound for me because with the speaker close there, it might boom a bit. Let's just check it. Testing, 1, 2. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm blessed to see you, and I believe God is blessed to see you too. Amen?
Amen.
There was this woman. She has been feeling a bit poorly, and she decided to go to the doctor. She hadn't been to the doctor in many, many years. So she gets to the doctor, and the doctor's assistant takes her into one of those little rooms and starts like the preliminary checkup with her. She says to her, "Ma'am, how tall are you?" Woman says to her, "I'm about 175. Nurse says, "Oh, let's just make sure." She checks her. She says, "Ma'am, actually, you're 155. "Oh, okay." She says, "Ma'am, what do you weigh?" "Oh, I weigh about 65. She says, "Well, ma'am, let's just make sure." She puts her on the scale. She weighs her, "Ma'am, actually, you weigh 85. She says, "It's time for us to check your blood pressure." The nurse begins to check the blood pressure. She looks at the lady. She says, "Ma'am, your blood pressure is very high." The woman looks at her. She says to her, "Of course my blood pressure is very high. When I came in here, I was tall and slender. Now I'm short and fat." May that never happen to you, amen? Well, praise God. Amen. God is good, amen?
Amen.
And, you know, I want to say something to you. When we serve God, we don't have to be all serious. We can have a fun life. We can have an exciting life. In fact, knowing God is the most exciting thing that can ever happen to you. You know, the world finds excitement in other things, but it's shallow, it's hollow, it has no substance. What God brings into our life is real. What God brings into our life is lasting. And what God brings into our life brings change. But not change for the worse, change for the better. God is good. In this week, actually in the last 2 to 3 weeks, I've been seeing a lot of people, and you know what? Let's be very honest. People don't want to see me because it goes well. I haven't had anybody phone me and make an appointment to tell me how well it goes with them. When people phone me and they say they want to see the pastor, they want to see me because there's some problem. Things are not well. There's issues. And I accept that. That's the way life is. And you know what? We have to help each other. Jesus came to help us. You know, we sang that last song, "God will make a way where there seems to be no way." And many times in our life, that's the way we feel. It feels like we've come to a dead-end street, like we've tried everything and nothing wants to happen, no doors wants to open, everything is just problems, problems, problems. And normally, the Word of God has a solution to that. But you have to delve a little bit. You have to dig a bit in the person's life to find out where the problems might be. And so it is when people come to see me and they start talking about their situation. I have to ask a couple of questions because, you know what, we're not psychics. We're not fortune tellers. By the grace of God, those demons left a long time ago. And God gives us wisdom. Wisdom coupled to the Word of God. Now, there is a very, very important scripture that I just want to mention before I go any further. It comes from the book of John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus is the one speaking, and Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I'm going to repeat that, and I want you to listen carefully. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the opposite of freedom? There is only one word that fits properly there. The opposite of freedom will be called bondage. To be in bondage means that something is surrounding you, holding you in, holding you back, making it almost impossible for you to go forward and to move on with your life. Nobody likes that. It's not nice to be in bondage. It's not nice to see other people go somewhere and you don't go somewhere. It's not nice to see other people happy and you not happy. It's not nice to see people prosper and you have poverty. And so the list goes on and on and on. But there is a key given to us in that scripture to attaining that freedom. If you want financial freedom, you need truth. If you want bodily freedom, like health, You need truth. If you want your mind to be in a peaceful, good place, you need truth. If you want your marriage to be blessed and you want peace between husband and wife, what do you need? You need truth. Now, there's a big difference between God's truth and what Oprah has to say, right? It's not the same thing. I'm not saying she can't come up with a gem now and then. But the only one that really understands these things is the one that created it, and that's God. And you know, one of the biggest problems that we have, when something in our life is not right, instead of turning to God and asking God, what's wrong? How do I fix it? We run to worldly things and we say, this is my situation. How do I fix it? Oh, you take these pills. Oh, you go on this self-help course. Oh, you do like introspection. Oh, you sit and meditate and you call Oom. You know, Oom. Oom. I don't know about you, but I don't think Oom has ever done anything for anybody. That reminds me, I prayed for a man many years ago. He was a Reiki master. He came to some of my meetings, and I think in a sense he wanted to impress me with his knowledge, because he came to me afterwards, oh, you know what, I really enjoyed your sermon on this and that, but let me just tell you this and let me just tell you that. You know what I found very interesting? He was very puffed up about his knowledge, about spiritual things, that he can heal people, that things work through his hands, etc., etc. But his life was falling apart. You know, it's like that whole thing, physician, heal thyself, you know. If you can help so many other people, but you cannot help yourself, something somewhere has to be extremely wrong. And as we were talking, it came out that there was big problems between him and his wife. He couldn't sleep at night. You know, he was like telling me, I healed this one, I healed that one, but he can't sleep at night. Something somewhere is wrong. Now, he can't see that. To him, he's wonderful. He's got all this power, but that power is doing nothing for him because the devil is robbing him. He had problems with his health, big problems with his health. But he's healing people. How does that work? I said to him, you must come and see me. He came to see me. We spoke. I said to him, listen, yeah, this is what I'm going to use to talk to you. I'm going to use the Word of God, and we're going to look at what's going on in your life and what does the Word of God say about that. And we spoke. I spoke to him about the Reiki, the stuff that he was involved with. I asked him the question, where does the power come from? According to him, if he didn't have the right crystals around him, he couldn't heal people. When I went to his house, his whole house was full of crystals. Apparently, it was to channel the energy through him into the people. I said to him, but what kind of energy are you channeling? Because, you know, God doesn't operate that way. God doesn't say to me, Rian, you can't pray for people now because there's one crystal missing. Come on, make a plan, you know. Oh, you forgot it at home. Just drive home quickly. You know, God doesn't operate that way. We can't put God in a box like that. Yet that's how he worked. You know, some of the crystals that he had in his house, one crystal cost him 10,000 rand. I think he had three or four of them. That was to tune the vibrations just a bit. You know, you think of that song, good, good, good. Now that was bad, 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 bad vibrations. It was bad. And still he's trying to tell me that actually this is good. I said to him, you know what, there's one definitive way that we're going to quickly solve this argument. I said, I've already told you what the Word of God says. I've already shown you that the stuff that you're doing in God's eyes cannot be right. I said, well, I want to show you something. He says, I asked him about meditation. Yeah, he also sits and then he calls Oom, you know, Oom, you know. I said, what do you think is coming to you when you do that? Oh, no, it's the Spirit of God. I said, let's check on that. Why don't we? Because me, I can't tell the Spirit of God what to do. But by the grace of God, if I have any authority, I can tell the demon what to do. Okay, fine. He sits there and he goes, Oom. And of course, something begins to happen to him, and I start rebuking that thing in the name of Jesus. Oh, my word. This oak was quite a lot bigger than me, I have to be honest. He was about like Paulo. Paulo, just stand up for me quickly. There we go. He was like Paulo, but he was a bit higher. He was, you know. The next moment, that demon in that man freaks out. Very upset with me that I dare to challenge him because he does heal people. He's talking nonsense. He can't heal nobody. And very upset that I don't respect him. No, I'm not going to respect you. You're a demon. And you know what? I cast Oom out of him. Oom left. And you know what? He lost the ability to heal people. He never healed nobody. But he lost that ability. Then we went to his house. We went to pray for him, etc., etc. But what I'm trying to say to you is, he had a type of truth, which ultimately was just a lie. He did not put his faith in the word of God. He put his faith in the word of men and demons. And his life was falling apart. And he fooled himself by saying, oh, but you know what? I'm a good person. I'm helping this one. I'm helping that one. And he was good in the sense he wanted to help people. He really wanted to help people. But he messed up. You know, in 2 days, God delivered that man and changed his life. He started sleeping. Do you know why he couldn't sleep at night? Because his house was full of demons, because he had all these crystals and Buddhas and also, so what, you know, nonsense all over his house, dragons and the whole tooth. There's only one dragon, it's the devil. You can argue it any other way, but there's only one dragon. The Bible says, and the great dragon, named also known as the devil, was thrown out of heaven, and his place was not found there anymore. I'm simply trying to tell you that a lack of knowledge will destroy your life. The Bible says in the book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And the knowledge that you need is not worldly knowledge, because there's a lot of knowledge in the world that's not necessarily good. It's not godly. You know, somebody can give you good advice according to them, but if you compare their advice with the word of God, it's ungodly. That will not bless you, that will curse you. Because that puts you in a place where you are standing in disobedience to God. And if you are in disobedience to God, the word of God says, if you hear my voice and you obey all the commands that I give you this day, then I will bless you and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you and etc., etc. And that sounds good to me, because blessing means going forward. Blessing means coming up out of the pit. Blessing means going up. It means exaltation. It means increase. Amen? All good things. Scripture also says, and I'm quoting from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Scripture also says, if you hear my voice and you do not obey me, then the following curses will come upon your life. I want to ask you a question. It's a simple question. Can a Christian be cursed? Well, you've been around a bit and you've seen a couple of things. But when you ask most people, they will immediately say no. And the argument that they will use is, oh, but I'm a Christian. The Spirit of God is with me. God and demons don't mix. I want to just challenge your thinking about God is omnipresent. God is all over this world. God is in this church today, but there's quite a few demons in this church today as well. They're going to leave just now when we start praying. But they're here today. Don't look at your neighbor such a funny way. It might be you that has the demon. How do you know? I mean, really? Did you check your wife there? Like, Now, I'm only joking. Don't hold it against him. I'm joking, okay? But that's what we like sometimes, you know. I've used this many times, but I want to say something to you. When you preach in a Baptist church and you tell them that you cast out demons at the Methodist church, they're like, oh, we thought so. You just better not tell them it was a Baptist church, because then they're all upset with you. It's like, oh, but we don't have. Ignorance allows the devil to come into your life. The Bible says, give the devil no place. Who's that written to? It's written to you, to you, to me, to you, to you, to you, to all of us. God will not warn us to give the devil no place if it was impossible for us to give the devil place. We can sometimes give the devil place. And the number one reason why people give the devil place is ignorance. We are ignorant, and we need knowledge. We need wisdom that comes from God. I want to show you a bit about the book of Proverbs. Just very quickly, I want to show you the book of Proverbs, just from chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right, what is just, and what is fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. What is the purpose of the book of Proverbs? To give wisdom, to give knowledge, to give understanding, to give insight. If you need more wisdom in your life, then you spend a bit more time in the book of Proverbs, because when you spend time in the book of Proverbs, it speaks to your soul. It speaks to your spirit. It adds value to you in a way that you might not understand right now, but something is going to begin to change in your life. He tells us here, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. Now, if the book of Proverbs is specifically given to us to add to our knowledge, to add to our wisdom, to add to our insight, to give us understanding, then we should spend a bit of time there. Today, I want to talk to you about a concept that a lot of people find a little bit foreign, that a lot of people are a little bit afraid of. But you know what? We have to give you the truth. When Jesus said, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free," he didn't mean a tiny portion of the truth. He meant the entire truth. And you know, here's another problem with people. We go to church, we read the Bible, and there are some parts of the Bible that we like and we accept, and there are other parts that's like, oh, I don't see it that way. With all due respect to you, you don't get to tell God, I don't see it that way. When he wrote his word, he knew that this is everything that you need to give you guidance to live a good, blessed, and prosperous life. And the more portions you take and you say, I don't see that way, I'm not interested in that, no, I can't do that, the less you will have the prosperity that God promises. There's a scripture in the book of Psalms that says, the Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. Look at your neighbor and say, God delights in your prosperity. Now, listen to me carefully. That's how it should be. Amen? That's not always how it is. Because sometimes we can't prosper because we put ourselves in a place where prosperity cannot come. Normally, lack of knowledge. Today I want to talk about giving. Today I want to talk about God's heart for us to be givers. You know, they say it's better to give than to receive. Have you heard that? Have you ever given something to somebody and you see their face light up and you see that you've moved a mountain for them and it's like they've got that, and it's like, praise God, and you feel that bubbly feeling inside. It's good to give, yet very few people give. Because for us, from a worldly point of view, it's better to receive than to give. It's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. I almost started singing in Abba there. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Yeah. But the fact is, we know that it's good to give. We even understand that it's good to give. But when we have to put our money where our mouth is and we have to actually give, we find it extremely difficult. Then that other voice begins to speak to us like, oh, but you shouldn't give because you're not going to have enough money for yourself. Now, you know what? You've got three of that, but if you give that away, the other person's going to have one and they can work for it like you worked for it, and don't do that. It's amazing how quickly something begins to argue and reason with us when we try and take God on his word and do what his word tells us to do. There are certain things the devil doesn't want. I want to ask you a question. I want you to be very honest with me. How many of you, when it has come to giving, either giving to the church or giving to the needy or giving to some place or whatever, when you start thinking about giving, this reasoning, this argument starts in your mind. There's 100 reasons why you shouldn't actually do it, why it's not necessary. Wave at me. Come on. Oh, so in other words, when you decide to give, it's like something around you charges and begins to argue with you. Oh, but it's not necessary. Oh, and by the way, you're not going to have enough money for the end of the month. You know what? Your car doesn't run on fresh air. You know, you need petrol, blah, blah. Something begins to talk to you. Who's talking to you? My friend, I'm going to lay hands on you and pray for you for wisdom, because it's not God. That's the devil speaking, because God wants you to give. The devil says don't. And can I tell you why the devil says don't? Raise your hands if you want to be prosperous. Wave at me if you want to be blessed. Does the devil want you to be blessed? No. So the moment you move onto territory where the blessing of God can be released, the enemy says, don't step there. It's dangerous. And he tries to push you off there. Now listen to this. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 to 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Okay, did you hear that scripture? Now let's just look at it from this point of view. I'm going to read the second part to you. Your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Does that sound good? Okay, in other words, if we change that into today's talk, your bank balance will be fat and your cupboards will be full. Does that mean something to you? Okay, you want a fat bank balance. How fat do you want it to be? No, not the 150 kilos, the 180 kilos, that one. You want the big one? A couple of millions. Wave at me if you want a fat bank balance. Wave at me if you want your cupboards to be full. And now we're not talking end of the month salty crack snack full, okay? We're talking beginning of the month, rump steak. I don't know what you like to eat. Me, if it's me, biltong, rump steak, fillet steak, nice things like that. I mean, I don't eat fish so lekker. But prawns I can do. Prawns, yeah, prawns. Nice calamari, yeah, I can eat that. In other words, good stuff. Okay, we want that, don't we? Now, listen to the scripture, because there's a condition here. And here's the thing. You know, many times we argue with God, we get upset with God. Oh, but your word says, but, and I don't have it. And then God says, you didn't meet the conditions. I clearly told you, for you to have this, you have to do that. You never did it. Now you're upset with me. How does that work? Listen to what the scripture says. It says, honor God. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to honor God. Honor God with your wealth. Now, a lot of people, but you don't understand. I worked very hard and I pray a lot and I meditate. And you know what? I share the gospel. God doesn't say honor God with your time. He doesn't say honor God with your energy. He says honor God with your wealth. Do you hear that? Don't come and reason with me, but you know what, I work very hard and I pray for people. Good for you. I'm happy that you're doing that, but the Bible says, yeah, honor God with your wealth. And you see, the moment you touch people's pocket, it's like, oh, but you ruined the friendship. Why? Why? That's what the Bible says. God's word says you must honor God with your wealth. And I'm going to show you why. It says, honor God with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then, your barns will overflow and your vats will brim over with new wine. There's a lot of people. Now, the reason I'm preaching about this week and last week and the week before, I encountered quite a few people that have a lot of financial problems and things are going tough. And, you know, I know the economy is not good. I know the petrol price is high. I know that Donald Trump became president and now the whole world is in a flap spin. I understand all of those things, but I also understand that the word of God will stand the test of time. And when God says it's this way, then it's that way. And I don't care what anybody else says. And the word of God says we have to honor God. Hello? We have to honor God. Why? When we honor God, we open the door. You know, there's a scripture that says give the devil no place, right? Ephesians 4 verse 25. Give the devil no place. Well, I want to add one of my own scriptures. This is Rian 1 verse 1. Give God all the place. If you don't open the door to give God place, God cannot work in your life. And you are the one that has the door and the key. If you don't open the door, God will not. Listen, yeah, Jesus, Revelation 3 verse 20 says, I stand at the door and I am knocking. Listen to me, my friend. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't kick your door down and say, listen, yeah, I want to come and bless you. I want to prosper you. When you honor God, when you become a giver, the door opens. You, in that way, open the door for blessings to come. If you don't open the door, the blessings can't come. Proverbs 11, verse 24 to 25. Listen carefully to the scripture. Okay. You know how to turn on your record button, right? Okay, can I show you? No. It's changed. We all had a firmware upgrade. It's changed. Take your right index. Is this the index finger? Take your vice finger. Take your right finger. Just swirl it around, check that it works. Put it in your right ear. Turn it clockwise. Did you do that? Did you hear that click? Now you're recording. Now you're going to be fine. Okay. I don't know. It must be the company. Well, praise God. Okay. Proverbs 11 verse 25. Listen to this. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. This is God speaking. God says, if you look at people, the ones that give are the ones that go somewhere. He says the ones that hold back are the ones that end up in poverty. I want to ask you a question. Do you want to be the one in prosperity or do you want to be the one in poverty? Because the only way to prosperity is through God's principle of giving. He says, one man gives freely. Not like, can I tell you how some people give? It's like, grumble, grumble, grumble. You know. God doesn't want that. In fact, don't give nothing. Whether you give to the church or you give to the poor or you give to the beggar, you do not give grudgingly. Because nothing good can come of that. In fact, you curse yourself. Whenever you feel moved to give, you give, you put a smile on your dial, you're all happy because you understand that you are honoring the word of God, and because you give, God will give back to you. I want you to understand that. You know, a lot of people, when it's time to give, whether it is to give to the church or whether it is to give to somebody, you know, I'll give you an example. Let's say your wife comes home. Oh, you know what? This and this family, how are they really battling? Oh, you know, okay, man. All right, just give them 100 rand. Can God bless that attitude? No, because the scripture says one man gives freely. In other words, it's a joy to give. It's a pleasure to give. Yet he receives even more. Oh, wow. You see, this is where the world and the kingdom of God will never see eye to eye. Because in the world, if you want to get, you must take. In the kingdom of God, you look very confused. Are you okay? Now I'm just asking because I can see that's like, he's computing now. That computer is working overtime. It's like, he's trying to compute this and the screen is flashing. Error, error. No, it's not that bad. Just follow this reasoning. You see, we come from a worldly background. And if we wanted something, we had to fight for it. Sometimes we had to walk over people for it. Sometimes we had to beat people down. And we take, we take, we take. And then when we meet God, God introduces us to a new, different type of life. Where in order to get, we actually have to open our hand and we have to give. And now that's where the computer says, programming error. God has to reprogram us. We have to break down the strongholds that taught us wrong. It's very difficult when you first encounter these principles. You know, many years ago, I'm talking back 1995, 1996, when God began to powerfully work in my life. I never used to tithe before then. In fact, I just never used to go to church before then, so why would I tithe? But after I had a massive encounter with God one day, one of the first things the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about is tithing. And I also had this thing like, but you know what, if I actually start giving some money away, then I'm not going to have enough to make it. And I did go through a bit of an inner struggle. And in the end, I settled it this way. I said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you on your word. I'm going to walk in faith and I'm going to see how this is going to work out. Probably I'll have a problem. Probably I won't, but that's up to you. Me, I'm distancing myself from this. If I'm going to tithe, this is what I'm giving and I'll trust you. You know, I can say to you honestly that on paper, at that point in time, probably I could not afford to tithe. Yet the weirdest thing happened when I began to tithe. Two big things happened. Firstly, the money that I had in my pocket suddenly, for some reason that nobody can explain until today, seemed to go a lot further. You know, sometimes when God multiplies, he does it in strange ways. The Bible says God moves in mysterious ways. I suddenly managed to do a lot more with the money that I had. Secondly, opportunities suddenly presented themselves that I had been trying to find in a big way before. And those doors would just never open. Out of the blue, doors began to open for me. Do you know? I had more in my pocket after I gave than what I had before I gave. This is what the scripture says. Listen to this. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Now listen to this. Look at your neighbor and say, record this. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. What type of man prospers? A generous man. Okay, let's put it into perspective. What happens to a stingy man? What's the opposite of prosperity? Okay, let's talk about prosperity. Is prosperity just rands and cents and dollars?
No.
Is prosperity love?
Yes.
Ah. Is prosperity health?
Yes.
Yeah. Is prosperity wisdom?
Yes.
Yeah. Is prosperity godly favor?
Yes.
Yeah. You want to prosper? Be generous. The more you give, the more God will give back to you. I want to say something about people that have a lot of money. People that have a lot of money sometimes don't see the need to know God. And that's a problem. People that have a lot of money sometimes feel that money will open the doors for them when God should open the doors. You know, a lot of money can open the wrong doors for you. The Bible says there's a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. In the end, it's the doors that God opens that will bless you. Now, how do you become a prosperous person? When you start giving generously. When you start giving freely. Then God begins to open the right doors, the doors that lead to prosperity. You know, if I have 10 million rand in the bank, I want to say the sky is the limit to what I can do. I can go into this, I can go into that, I can go into that, but most of that will lead me to destruction. Because there's a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. It's not what you think it's right, it's what God says is right. And when you put yourself on a course of prosperity through your hand that opens to give, then God begins to direct your steps. There's a scripture that says, when a man builds a house, not God, the house will crumble. When you build your business, not God, your business will crumble. When you build your career, not God, your career will crumble. You've got to walk the road God wants you to walk. You've got to have godly prosperity to get somewhere. So here we clearly see that if you give, you will receive. The main thing is that you need to give freely. Not begrudgingly, not upset, not like I take it and stuff off. You have to give. Giving in the kingdom of God because of pressure to do so or having some kind of ulterior motive just doesn't work. And this is the principles that the kingdom of God and prosperity are built on. In order for us to receive, we also have to get to the point that we learn how to give. And I want you to note what happens to a man that doesn't give but withholds. He comes to poverty. I don't know about you, but that word, just the word gives you the heebie-jeebies. It gives you the chills, like poverty. Say the word, poverty.
Poverty.
Did you feel that? It's like, it's not nice. Nobody wants to have that word in their life. We don't want to be poor. Come on. Note what happens, Now that is one word that we all hate, we don't like poverty, yet God's word says that if your attitude towards giving is wrong, you call that thing to come to you. Now let's just call a spade a spade. Poverty is a demon. I don't care whether you disagree with me. I don't give a hoot. I have spoken to him many times. I have seen him manifest in many people. He's a demon. And you know what? Every demon is a thief. And the Bible says the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if you call that thing to come to you, he will suck the life out of you. You're going to go nowhere. And you know, it's not going to help coming to the pastor every Sunday to pray for you and to lay hands on you and to bless you if you don't honor the word of God. Because I can't close that door. You close the door when you start obeying God. I've been to your house. You have a lovely house. Imagine if you left the front gate open and you left the front door open and you left all the other doors open. And you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, all our stuff is gone. Oh, God, how can you allow this? God didn't leave the door open. You did. God didn't forget to set the alarm. You did. But that's how some people are. We leave the door open for the devil to come in because we don't honor the word of God. And then when the devil runs away with all of our blessings, it's like, oh God, how can you do this to me? No, God did nothing. God gave you his word. God gave you wisdom. God gave you understanding. You chose to say, I'm not going to do it that way. And then we learn the hard way, isn't it? We have to honor God. Prosperity. Say that word. Prosperity. Oh, you see now, that word is opposite. The other one gives you the thrills. This one gives you butterflies. Like, you get this warm feeling all over. Because it's a good word. Listen to me. God wants you to prosper. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. God wants you to prosper. The Bible says you have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss. In other words, are we allowed to ask for prosperity? Yes, you should ask for prosperity. Because when God prospers you and you start giving, a lot of people around you is going to prosper. And if you can teach them those principles, then they will prosper themselves and a lot of people around them will prosper. So in the end, it's a win-win for everybody. Prosperity is a good thing, but it's conditional. And some people just don't want to meet the condition. And then they get upset because things in their life don't work out. We have to meet the condition. Matthew 6 verse 25 to 34. I'm not going to read it because it's a bit long, but it's where Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount and he's talking about man's cares and worries and stress and drama about the day of tomorrow, about the clothes we wear, about the food we eat. And I think all of us have that. We kind of like a bit stressed about the day of tomorrow. We want to know that there's going to be food in the cupboard. We want to know that there will be money for petrol. We want to know that we will be able to pay for the rent and, you know, all of that type of stuff. That's real things. Now, Jesus talks about that. Now, a lot of us are constantly stressed and worried about these very things. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to stay? How am I going to take care of my children? Jesus says, the way to overcome all of the stress and all of this worry is to seek first the kingdom. You know, that's where he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, or God's righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. What are these things? Food in your cupboards. Clothes on your back. Petrol in your tank. A bed for your kids to sleep on. Some money in the bank for one day when I'm retiring. All these things will be added unto you. But again, what is the key to unlocking that? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and then. Now, let's talk about this. What do we tend to naturally seek first? How am I going to make money? How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do that? I have to make a plan. I have to get a second job. We seek first the money. We seek first the prosperity. And then, you know what? I can't go to church now because I have to do something this Sunday. But, you know, once things are better and I have money to drive to Springs or wherever the church is, then I'm going to go to God and everything will be fine. No, you're doing it all wrong. You know, when you put the cart before the horses don't want to push the cart. They can only pull it. So you got to do things right. The word of God says, even if you are in the dwang right now, oh, pastor, what does that mean? That means you are in the akis. I can't use another word because I'm recording this. You have to start. So if you are in hot water right now and you want to know how to get out of it, there's only one way, seek the kingdom. Because once you find the kingdom, in other words, God's kingdom word for you, God's kingdom principles for you, things will change. In God's kingdom, things work differently to the way things work in the world. In the world, people hoard their money, they hold on to their money, they make their fortunes by scamming and stealing and swindling and doing stupid stuff. But being part of God's kingdom, we have to understand that things are different. You can't become part of God's kingdom, but you want to run your life business as usual. You have to change. There's a gentleman. He doesn't come to this ministry anymore. I spoke about giving many years ago, about 6-7 years ago. And I specifically spoke about being stingy. And when the demon manifested in this man, his hands went tight. Do you remember that day? You know when your hands go so tight that you don't even see the blood, your fingers go white, white, white. And that's exactly how this man was. He wouldn't give 5 cents to nobody. Yeah. His hands went like this. And the demon laughed and he said, that's why this man will never have nothing, because he always wants to hold on to everything. Me, I've been around the block a couple of times. I've seen a couple of things. You can't be stingy and expect God's blessing upon your life, because God can't bless stingy people. But stinginess calls the spirit. It comes and sits on you. Now, I want to tell you something else. I want to show this. Who could I use as an example? Jerry. You look very photogenic today. Please come and stand here in the front with me. All right. What do you see here? Oh, look at all those eyes just like, oh. You see, you all want to prosper, don't you? Now, this is 200 Rand. 200 Rand, it might not be a lot these days, but you can still do something with it. Amen. I like his attitude. He's like, he's ready to receive. Wow. You can see he's a businessman, eh? You can see he's a businessman. Now, I want to show you something. Is it God's heart for him to prosper?
Yes.
Is it God's heart for him to be blessed?
Yes.
Does God want him to go forward?
Yes.
Okay, now let's look at this. In order for him to be blessed, he must be able to receive. Remember I told you that I prayed for a man once and his hands all clenched up because the demon said to me, this man will not give nothing to nobody. Okay, I want you to be like that man. Clench your hands. If I try and bless him now, what happens to the blessing? Because his hands are like this, his hands also can't receive. Let's try. Maybe there was just a problem with that hand. We'll try the other one. There we go. I'm trying hard. Still didn't work. I want you to see how practical the spiritual stuff that God teaches us is. People that will not give, their hands are not open to receive. When you give, you open your hand. The blessing of God touches, you can receive. Now, imagine you're a giver. No problem to receive. Now you can close your hand. You can keep it this far. Well, bless God. I want you to put your hand in front of you. Put your hand in front of you. Come, all of you. I want you to say, Lord,
I thank you
that practically
it
is easy to receive if I open my hand
to give.
The moment you give, instead of taking, your hand is open to receive. That's why the Bible says, one man gives, yet receives even more. The hand that is always close to giving is the hand that cannot receive from God. And if you're not receiving from God, let me tell you something, the devil's very busy in your life. Somewhere along the line, you're going to pick up a problem. Okay. Being part of God's kingdom, we have to change. We have to do things differently. Now, if we were to look at Jesus Christ as an example, Jesus was a giver. When the people didn't have food, he said, what have we got? Let's make a plan. The moment he decided to give, God gave multiplication. There was 5 bread and 2 fish. It ended up feeding like 12,000 people, if you can count the women and the children as well. Can you feed 12,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread? No, you can't. But the moment you choose to give, the power of God begins to work with you and multiplies what you have. You want to take something from that parable today? You take this. If I choose to open my heart to give, God will multiply what I have. I told you that when I started tithing, God multiplied things because I knew. You know, when you know that you got 500 Rand in the bank and you still have to pay this and that and what, and you have to put petrol and, you know what? I never ran out. How is that possible? Many times I would sit and think, and in the end I decided I'm not even going to think because it makes me a bit funny up here, you know? I'm just going to accept it. It works. Spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. Now, I'm not saying that I'm crazy. I see you all laughing at me, but Sometimes it feels a bit like that. Listen, yeah, serving God and living in the twilight zone is very, very close to each other. Because when God is involved, things don't always have to add up in the natural. Because God touches something in the spirit and it just happens. Amen? God is God. For Him, nothing is impossible. She shared with us, I think you shared it. I want you to come here quickly. I want you to share that testimony. You remember when you were, you didn't have enough money to pay your guys and you put all the money on the bed and you prayed. Just share with them what happened that day.
Many years ago, my husband, he was without a job for 10 months. We had no work, we had no income coming. I was already serving God and I knew the principles of tithing. And even though with all my problems, I always tied to God. And one day, it was the end of the month, I had bills to pay. And I had 5,000 rands on my hands and my debts was 7,500 rands. I was short 2,500 rands. And that day I was very stressed because the bank was phoning me. I was in troubles with the bank and I put all that money in cash on top of my bed and I kneel and I prayed it and I cried out to God. I said, Lord, You promise in Your word that You take care of me, but I'm short of money and I don't know what to do with this. And I don't know what happened that day. Something came over me. I fell down on the bed and I slept, I don't know, for how long because I didn't time it. And the whole money was there. When I wake up, I had the 5,000 rands that I had it and another 5,000 rands in brand new 200 rands notes. Until today, I phone Rian, I phone my brothers, I phone my husband, I phone everybody. Until today, I still don't know what happened that day. But the fact the Lord, He blessed me with the 2,500 rands that I needed, plus the 2,500 rands to survive until the end of the month. But it's another thing. God, in 10 months that we had no work, I was never short of food. I was never short of anything. God always honored His word in my life. And that's true what this man says.
Amen. In, what was it? I think it was in the year 2005. A church invited me to go and preach there. They were in Whipstad, which is quite far from here. It's like 250 km that way, out Potch's way that way. And I didn't have a lot of money. In fact, I'm going to put it to you this way. I simply had enough money to put petrol in my tank to get to the church. I didn't know how I was going to even get back. Before I went there, a friend of mine was going through a lot of financial difficulties. They were on the verge of losing their house. I knew that I had just enough money to get to this church. The guy didn't ask me for any help. But I was aware of his problem, and now that put me in a predicament because now I'm aware of his problem, and I know that to some extent I can do something about it, but if I do something about it, I'm also going to be in the duenya. And I made a decision. I said to the Lord, Lord, You have to help me, but this man needs some money. I gave him 300 rand. I had 600 rand in the bank. The other 300 rand, unfortunately, I couldn't give to him because I had to put petrol in my tank today to get to the church. Back then, with 300 rand, you could still do about 300-400 kilometers. You know, we're talking back in the day. I put petrol in my car. I went there. I preached there for 4-5 nights. As I come driving into Whipstad, I noticed this huge cloud of smoke behind me. I think to myself, man, look at these taxis. Jeez, they don't take care of them. It's like, you know, God forgive me. Because there was actually a taxi behind me. The taxi was probably thinking, look at this idiot. He never services his car. Because I didn't realize it was my car. I pull away. And I turn right. And I saw the taxi turn left. And now the smoke is still with me. That's when it dawned on me it's my car. Ooh, I pull off the road. Now I'm having a panic attack. Like, oh, switch the car off. Something broke. I'm sitting there. Now I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? Stress, 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 stress. Okay, we pray. Start the car. The car actually sounds fine. I rev it a couple of times. Ooh, don't do that. Big smoke, big smoke. Okay, we don't. Now I don't know what to do. It's clear that something somewhere is very wrong. at least I'm almost there. Now you must check me out. Oh man, I'm idling through Whipstad, because the moment I touch the petrol, it's just smoke. I idle all the way to the pastor's house. He was sitting on the stoop waiting for me. He comes running to me. He says, "What's wrong with your car?" I said, "I don't know. Something broke." He says, "Okay, come, let's have something to eat, and then we'll try and see what we can do about that later." I'm eating, but honestly, I'm stressed. Because now, you must understand something. I have this much in my bank account. My car is clearly broken. I don't know how I'm going to fix this. I'm in the dwanya. SOS. SOS. Lord, please just, oh, see me. Yeah, I'm sending smoke signals like SOS. Anyway, I had to preach that night. By the grace of God, the moment the anointing comes upon my life, I forget about all my problems. I forget about my problems. Interestingly enough, the pastor whose church I went to preach at was like the smallest little church in Whipstad. But guess where the only mechanic on the dorpy worshipped? In his church. Hey, God is good. He says to me, "Don't stress, we're going to..." And he's not just the mechanic, he owns the engineering shop on the town as well. After supper, after lunch, he takes me to go and see the guy. When we came driving up, the guy comes walking up. He says, "What's wrong with your car?" I said, "Oh, well, that's why I'm here. I don't know." He says, "Don't worry. Leave it here. We'll look at it later." Monday night, I preach. Tuesday night, I preach. Wednesday night, I preach. Thursday night, I preach. Friday night, I preach. God does amazing things. God is good. People get healed. People get delivered. Things happen. We saw a couple of miracles happen. Oh, it was a wonderful time. Sort of at the back of my mind, I have this thing about my car, but I'm busy, so I don't think about it too much. The one morning I wake up and it dawns on me that, you know what, this car has to be fixed. It's probably going to cost quite a bit of money. I wonder if I shouldn't phone my dad and see if he can borrow me some money or something, because you know what, I'm trying to be practical. And I had this thing, God speak to me, and he said, "Trust me and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven for you." I thought, wow. You know, I'm going to have to just do this because there's nothing else I can do. Saturday night I preached. Sunday night I preached. I was there for 7 days. Sorry, not five. Sunday I preached in the morning. I preached in the afternoon. And I preached in the evening. That evening, that church was so packed. People had to sit in the aisles. People had to stand in the back. It was amazing. God did so many wonderful things. Monday morning, the whole time nobody talks to me about my car. I ask about there. Yeah, don't worry. Okay, then I'm not going to worry. Monday morning, the pastor calls me into his office. He tells me, we had such a wonderful time. God blessed us. Wada. He says, "I spoke to the leadership of the church. And we came to a unanimous decision that we have to fix your car for you." He says, "We had the guy go through your car from the back to the front. We asked him to find every problem on the car. Because I had kind of like been living by faith and there wasn't always a lot of money, probably the maintenance wasn't so lacquer. Do you know that they fixed every problem they could find on my car? They rebuilt the engine on the car. It was done in 1 week. The parts had to be sourced from Bloemfontein because they didn't have the parts there, but they got it. And the car was finished Monday morning. When I got outside, the car was standing outside idling." I thought, oh. Yeah, that was my version of extreme car makeover, yeah. Pimp my ride. God pimped my ride, yeah. But what I wanted to say to you about that is, I did not have that money. If I have to guess, because I'm not stupid, everything that they did to that car probably worked out to between 7 and 10,000 rand. Money that I didn't have. I had an opportunity to bless somebody else. I chose to bless that person, knowing that it could put me in hot water, but I did it anyway. I gave freely, yet I received even more. I can give you many examples like that because that's how my life is. But I want to tell you something. The word of God is true. The Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. And that is the principles that govern the kingdom of God. And they might not make sense to your mind. They don't have to make sense to your mind. God just has to touch them and they work. Many times in my life, I've seen the power of God move and God prosper my life. But I want to tell you something about me, and the people that know me intimately will be able to testify to that. I'm a giver. You know what? I never have a problem giving. When somebody has a problem, I'll always do what I can to help. And I trust God that tomorrow to me belongs to God, not to me. Well, what she says there is true, and I'm not even going to go into details, but many times I actually give what I don't have. And God still makes a plan. God still blesses me. Do you know what? I sleep well at night. My stomach is full. I am blessed. Now, next week I'm going to continue because I'm only on page 2, and there's 7 pages. I'm not going to kill you by preaching the whole thing. But I want to say this to you. I want to challenge you. There's many people sitting here. The reason I started talking about this is because I've been hearing a lot of people complain that this is tight and that's rough and I'm not making it. And then when I asked them, but do you honor God? Do you give? Oh, no, but I can't afford to. Now, there's your problem. You know what? In order to receive, you have to open your hand to give. And when you open your hand to give, something can come in for you to receive. The devil is very busy in everybody's life. He's busy. But I want to say something to you. So is God. And if we honor the word of God and if we honor the principles of the kingdom of God, then probably one of these days you'll stand here like the auntie and say, oh, you know what? I didn't have this and I didn't have that. And then boom, look at what God did for me. Does God still do miracles today, my friend? Yes, he does. God does amazing miracles. You know, probably one or two of you were sitting listening to a testimony and you think to yourself, oh, but she didn't count properly. No, she did. God touched and God multiplied. God still does. No, I know you can. I'm scared to give you the mic because then we're going to be here till tomorrow. You know, that one, she has an encyclopedia of testimonies. Yeah. And God still blesses people. Now, today, I want to say something to you. When God touches your heart to give, God is giving you an opportunity to show Him that you can be trusted to prosper. Many times when God speaks to us in this ear to give, the devil speaks to us in that ear, please, that's rubbish. You're going to become poor. God doesn't need your money. Listen to me very carefully. God doesn't need your money. Me, I'm going to sleep whether you give or you don't give. This church is going to be here tomorrow whether you give or you don't give. God is going to be on the throne whether you give or you don't give. Giving opens the door for you to be blessed, not for somebody else to be blessed. I'm going to end off with this scripture. I've already shared it. I'm just going to end off with it. Proverbs 11, verse 24 to 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, there's a scripture that says, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days it will return unto you. That speaks to me many times. Many times I have this thing in my heart, I have to give here or I have to give there. I'm casting my bread upon the water. It's for God to bring it back. Sometimes He brings, you know, it's like I feel sometimes I put one little slice of bread and I get 2 loaves back and I'm thinking, oh, I like that. Because God is in charge of that. The moment you give, now it's God is now in charge of the process, how it's going to come back. If you are in charge of the process, you're going to have a 1%, 2%, 5%, maybe if you really bless 20% increase, and then you still have all your expenses. When God is in charge, the Bible says, listen carefully, when we give, we will have a harvest, sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100%. Is there one businessman here that can tell me that you can always get 100%? I'm sorry, you can't. Not if you take off all your expenses, your labor, your this, your that. No. But in God's kingdom, God can double things for you in a day. But what God wants is the right attitude. When our attitude is right and we become like God, let's just ask this question. Is God a giver? Yes. Here's how it works. God first decided to give his son, knowing that he had to come to die. Jesus, knowing that he had to come to die, gave his life. You want to call yourself a Christian? The word Christian means Christ-like. You have to become Christ-like. You know, Jesus gave till it hurt. In fact, he gave till he died. But look at what we got in return. Look at what he got in return. Because he was willing to give his life, he got back his children. If we begin to give, we will get back so much more. Amen? Amen. Did anybody learn something today? Yes. Give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen.